Welcome to A Burning Fire. This is Jim Boyd, your speaker. For the last several programs, we've been studying together the story of Jesus. This likely is going to be the final episode in this investigation because we're coming to the final hours of Christ's reign here upon the earth. When Jesus was seized in the Garden of Gethsemane, they took him before a man named Annas, who was a deposed high priest, but a very influential leader among the Jews. And there they charged him with blasphemy. They physically abused him. They slapped him about the face. They asked him about his teaching. The entire proceeding was one that was illegal. False witnesses were brought in to speak against him, distorting his teaching and using what he had said and done as concocted evidence of religious crimes. And when daylight came, they took him before the highest Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, and went through a formality of sentencing him to death. But their actions were done while it was still dark, and so they had to wait until daylight to ratify the early actions, because it was not lawful to condemn a man to death in darkness. You know, it's one of the notes of interest to me in the mockery of the trials of Jesus, how meticulous and precise his enemies were in some matters while they condemned the innocent Son of God. They wanted to make sure that it was all legal. But the Jews, you see, could not execute the prisoner, for this was a power that the Romans had reserved exclusively for themselves. So now there was the necessity of having their actions approved by Roman authorities, and as soon as possible, they took Jesus before Pilate. Well, he was taken before Pilate, who, upon examination, said he found no fault with Jesus. It seems that Pilate would have set him free at this point. But when he heard the charges, the different charges than what had been laid against him among the Jews, because the Jewish charges were religious, these they tried to make Jesus against the Romans. Jesus, they said, claimed to be a king. And of course, that would amount to treason against Caesar. Well, Pilate sought a way out of this trying situation that would be politically expedient for himself, and he had the occasion to send Jesus before Herod. Well, Herod was the ruler over Galilee. When Pilate learned that Jesus was a Galilean, he thought, well, I'll just turn this over to Herod and let him decide what to do with him. But Herod kept him only a short while, continuing to heap upon him abuses of one sort or another, demanding Jesus to perform a miracle. But of course Jesus refused, because he didn't perform miracles just for display. Herod then had Jesus beaten and humiliated and mocked and ridiculed, and finally they sent him back to Pilate. Well, Pilate, being very disturbed by the whole affair, and having no cause to condemn Jesus, did finally submit to the cries of the multitude who had been aroused by their religious leaders to cry out for his crucifixion. Even Pilate's offer to free another, a man named Barabbas, or Jesus, resulted in their demand that Jesus be the one that was to die. Pilate's wife had even urged that he have nothing to do with Jesus, because she said he was a just man. But Pilate, washing his hands with water, acted as if he was through with any responsibility in the whole affair. He turned Christ into the hands of those who called for his death, to be crucified alongside two thieves, just outside the city of Jerusalem at a place called Calvary, the place of the skull. Meanwhile, Judas, realizing that he had betrayed innocent blood, hanged himself. Well, Jesus was led through the streets of Jerusalem toward Calvary, the mobs on either side crying for his death, and they compelled a man from Cyrene named Simon to carry his cross. And then they took Jesus there and nailed him to the cross. The cross was lifted into place, and the Son of God was left to die. Hanging there between two thieves, we hear him making seven statements. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And to the thief he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And to Mary, his mother, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And to John he said, "Behold thy mother." He once said, "I thirst." And finally, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" quoting from the 22nd Psalm. And then he said, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." With this, the Son of God died. Soldiers cast lots for his garments, as had been foretold they would. And the moment of his death, the sun darkened. The earth did quake. The darkness reigned for 3 hours. The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Later, tombs were opened. A centurion said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Soldiers came to hasten the death of those on the cross at the request of the Jews, because they didn't want bodies on crosses at the Passover time. But when they came to Jesus, they found him already dead and did not break his bones as had been prophesied. And they did, however, cast a spear into his side. Pilate allowed Joseph and Nicodemus to take the body of Jesus and place it in Joseph's new tomb. And at the insistence of his enemies, a watch was set to guard the tomb lest anything should happen to the body and the prophecy of the resurrection would be proclaimed. They had remembered how Jesus had said in 3 days he would be raised again. And so they wished to prevent any scheme of his disciples that they might attempt to make the disappearance of the body appear that he had come forth from the tomb. But they had been put up to this by the religious leaders and the Romans. Ordinarily, this whole story would have ended here. This would conclude the life of an ordinary individual with his death and with his burial. But you see, friend, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they teach us that Jesus was not just another man. He was the Son of God. Even though the disciples did not fully understand what had taken place, they soon became discouraged, and they were disappointed. They were deflated. They were disillusioned. Some of them seemed to have given up hope. Some seemed to have even decided to return back to their former occupations. But for a while they remained together to ponder the events, and they had witnessed the things concerning what had happened to the Christ. But the story of Jesus on earth was not yet over. On the first day of the week, as had been prophesied through the ages, Jesus came forth from the tomb. When the women came to anoint the body at the tomb, the stone had already been removed from the tomb, and they were met by men in white who announced, "He is not here. He is risen, even as he said." They then ran and told his disciples, who at first disbelieved their report, until they themselves visited the tomb, and they found it empty, and the grave clothes were orderly placed. Now there are in the biblical records some 12 or 13 specific appearances of Jesus that are mentioned, when he appeared before various ones, before his disciples, before the women who knew him, as many as 500 at once, proving that he was indeed the resurrected Son of God. They walked with him, they talked with him, they ate with him, they saw him, they touched him, they could hear him speak, and he could even see the nail prints and the wound in his side. Jesus sent word to his disciples that he would meet with them once again in Galilee, and this he did. But his enemies concocted the story how his disciples stole his body. Now, suffice it to say here, in this brief examination of the story of Jesus, the alternatives that are offered to his resurrection, the so-called explanations by unbelievers, they can be and have been easily and adequately answered and dismissed. They are irrational, they are unreasonable, they are impossible, they are without evidence, and they are contrary to what we can know. The fact is, friend, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead and thereby provided another irrefutable evidence that he is the Christ, the Son of God. But we read of Jesus meeting his disciples in Galilee as he had scheduled, and then he returned to the Mount Olive to give his disciples the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. And then, in the sight of his apostles, Jesus ascended into heaven, giving the assurance that he would come again. Well, that's the story of Christ here upon this earth. I think it's fitting to close these remarks on the story of Jesus by once again citing the quotation from the book of John. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. When we talk about the story of Jesus, I know the word story sometimes is used to talk about narratives of fictional nature, but these things are historical, friend. They are factual. These are Holy Spirit-inspired accounts of the person who is the center personality of the Scriptures. They are things that are not fictional. They are the story of Jesus. And we should never forget that though we have very little about the life of Christ here upon this earth, only 33 and a half years, about 3.5 years of his ministry, we have the information that the Lord has given to prove to us the truth that we need to know, whereby we can be saved from our self-imposed condemnation by our sins. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, they are given so that we can know that that which was confessed repeatedly while Christ was on earth is the truth. We can believe it, we can rely upon it, we can trust it, and we can be saved because of him. And that's because Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Oh, I commend to you the reading of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that you might come to know salvation through Jesus the Christ. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.